Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And co-host tonight, every night seems like a new night, you know? Christopher John O'Shea.
Your lucky night, Drew.
Christopho, how are you
doing
tonight?
Doing great, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
You are the consistent one. You're here each week. I know our listeners look forward to that. And so looking forward to a great show. Open show, right? Yeah.
That's right. We're on an open show tonight. So that means our listeners are our guests. They get to call in and direct the conversation. Maybe there's something on their mind. Maybe it's a Social Security or Medicare question, or maybe it's a retirement planning question, or maybe it's a tax question, estate question, elder care, whatever. If it's dealing with your personal finances and you want some help on it, we're here to help you. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680 is the way you call in and ask your question. And, you know, tonight, Chris, I wanted to talk about, you know, we're coming toward the end of the year, and this is the time of year where people have to think about taking their required minimum distributions. And, you know, people have to remember that if you give to charity and you have to take a required minimum distribution, that you want to be taking it out of your IRA account. Now, I can't stress how important this is to you, okay? Especially in the state of Maryland, where they've got these new goofy laws that if you're single and your income's over $100,000 by one stinking dollar, you're going to lose a $1,000 tax benefit. Or if you're married and your income's over $150,000, you're going to lose a $1,700 $50 tax benefit. That doesn't even include that you're going to lose $1,600 in state tax exemption. Plus, and if you're married, you're going to lose $3,200 of exemption. So, wouldn't it be terrible if your income came in at $150,800 and you did $2,000 in charitable contributions and you didn't do it out of your IRA? I mean, you just cost yourself a fortune, you know?
Right. So even if you're not 70 and a half or not, and you're over 59 and a half and you're doing charitable giving, IRA.
Absolutely. It's very simple. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, you use that chat.
Yeah, I will do that. Right.
Do you have anybody?
We do. We have Lee to begin with in Timonium. So let's go to Lee. Hi,
let's
Lee. Welcome
Lee.
To the show.
Hey
Lee.
Good evening. This relates to SSI and Medicaid.
Okay.
I'm a representative paid for somebody.
Okay.
Who has both Medicare and Social Security and SSI.
Okay.
And so the money is going into an account. Her name is not on it, obviously, or it's not as the owner.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if the balance in the account normally, if you have more than $2,000 in your own name, you're disqualified for SSI. But what if you have more than $2,000 in the representative payee account?
Well, you know, if it's in your Social Security number, it's not going to be considered her asset. So that's fine. That's perfectly fine.
That's perfectly fine. Is there any upper limit? I mean, cause...
well, the one, you know, I actually can't think of anything. You know, if you're the representative payee and you're putting the money in an account that doesn't have her Social Security number on it, and you're using that money strictly for their benefit, you should be fine. You know, so I don't see any problem with that.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure, because every month she has a surplus, because she's in a facility where it's not taking all of her money, so it's just kind of building up a surplus.
Well, that's fine, but, you know, the key is that the account is there, and you never use the account for your benefit. You're strictly using it for their benefit. So
right,
I don't see any problem with that.
Okay, great. I appreciate the answer.
All right. But, you know, Lee brought up a really great point there, Chris. He called himself the representative payee. Now, that's an important concept, because what he was saying there is that he wasn't using the power of attorney that typically you use to handle a financial account. He was using what's called a representative payee. He had to go to Medicare or Social Security and say, hey, make me the representative for this person. Tell me what I got to do. And that's the only way they accept it. They don't accept the power of attorney. You can go in there with a very fancy written power of attorney for a lawyer and say, I need to take over this account for Drew because he can't do it himself, and it ain't going to work. You got to become the payee representative. Very important thing to understand if you're dealing with somebody that needs help working on Medicare or Social Security. Anyway, we got to take a pause. We're on an open show today. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Take get away traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show. That means our listeners are our guests. They get to ask the questions. They get to determine where we're going. And maybe they've got something on their mind. Maybe they've got a tax issue. Maybe they're dealing with Medicare and Social Security, like our other friend Lee was talking about. Maybe there's a 401k problem, IRAs, Roth conversion. This is Roth conversion season. This is the time you think about Roth conversion. So whatever's on your mind, 410-922-6680. If it deals with your money, we're here to help you. 410-922-6680. Chris, you have someone on the line there, right? Sakura?
Yes, Sakura of Line 2. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi. Yeah, I had a couple questions. My husband and I both started Social Security at age 62.
Okay.
And we were, they did our Social Security based on what they called it, a family plan. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but we had a handicapped son.
Okay.
And because we had a handicapped son, they said there was only, we were at the top of whatever we were able to get.
Right.
Now, my son since has passed. Does that change anything? Does it ever change? Or?
Yeah, you have to go back to him and you actually get less.
Oh, you get less. All right.
Have you notified them?
Well, yeah, I did.
Okay. Well, has anything changed?
Nope.
All right, well, you know, then I don't know what more we have to worry about then, you know. So, but, yeah, there is a family limit on Social Security.
That's
based
what it's called, a limit, yeah.
Yep, there is a family limit. And but if you have a handicapped child or a minor child that lives with you and you're collecting Social Security, you can get money for that dependent also. And so you get yours, you get your husband's, and then you get the dependents. But I can't imagine that with just one dependent that it would have really hit that max, especially when you were 62. But, you know, I can't say that I'm an expert on the family limit. So, but, yeah, yes. If you've already told them, I think you're good.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't change, but I thought it might actually be more. And you're saying it goes the other way. You
would. Oh no, it would definitely have gone the other way. It wouldn't go up. It would go down.
Okay, because I thought once he passed, and I didn't know whether what difference it was going to make, but it hasn't yet. So
yeah, because you think about it, they were giving you a benefit for your husband. They were giving a benefit to you. And they were given another benefit to your son, okay? So you had three benefits coming in, and a lot of times they could have four or five kids. You know, you have a surviving spouse with three or four children. You know, there's a family limit that they're able to give out. So that's where that's coming from. But it would have gone down, not gone up, if you stopped that. So
okay,
hopefully that's helpful.
One more quick question.
Go ahead.
And I don't know that if this matters. What age that you he didn't do the full he and I both at age 62.
Right.
It started Social Security. Well, his is I only did like little job, like I worked over at a school for a while.
Right. Okay.
As a lunch money, so I didn't have to make much, but I got money off of his. Now, is there an amount that you get? Somebody told me you get half. Is that only if I worked a full time job?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So the way it works is, let's say your husband at 66 or 65 years of age. Let's say that was his full retirement age, and let's say his benefit would have been $2,000 a month. Okay. So half of 2,000 is 1,000.
Right.
All right. So half of that is 1,000, but you went in and took it at 62. So then they would discount that 1,000 back even more, and they would give you like $650 or $700 or something like that. So that's the way you have to calculate it, is that it's based on his full retirement age, and then that half is then discounted for the fact that you took it at age 62 also.
Oh, okay.
So, but the good news is, sort of, is that if you're the survivor, you get his benefit and your little benefit disappears.
It just goes away.
Yes, ma'am. But you get the bigger benefit for the rest of your life also.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
right.
I wondered. I thought, well, maybe it has something to do with, you know, what you get if you do full retirement. He actually did not. He started, matter of fact, ours was a mess. He was collecting Social Security for maybe 3 months, and then he went back to work. A different job. I mean, he went back to work. And
yeah.
Then he did work to maybe 68 or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's very confusing for a lot of people to understand that, but it sounds like it was done properly for the two of you.
Yeah, because for for the 3 months he paid back the Social Security that he was collecting.
Yeah, that would happen too.
So
we got to run. Good question. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Right.
Thank you and your help. Thank you.
All right. Goodbye.
All right.
Good night. And where did we go from here, Chris?
Like the chat says, we have James in Rosedale. James, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm calling in regard to a 94-year-old man. He's been married twice, and his spouse just died a couple of years ago. Is he entitled to get maybe half her Social Security? Because he's only getting $1,600 a month.
How much was she getting?
Oh, I have no idea. I could ask him.
He gets the higher of the two, either his own or his current deceased wife's Social Security, whichever is higher.
That's what I thought. I'm going to take him there.
Yeah, you ought to go back and calculate it and see. Is there any chance that he had a spouse that passed away that has a bigger benefit than his? And if so, he'll get a little bit higher check.
Yeah, his first wife just passed. I just started thinking about it. His rent and so he's not going to be able to make it. He's getting ready to run out of money. So I think I just thought of that. I'll just take him to Social Security and see if he can get a little bit more money. They told him no. I think they meant no because of his, in the sense that his wife that passed won't be getting any more money.
Well, if his wife that passed didn't make more than he did from Social Security, he's just going to get his.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's what you know, but he could potentially collect against the first wife if he was married to her when she passed.
Yeah, I'm going to check. We'll check into that. He's got his Social Security number.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing to do. You'd be amazed at how many people out there are not checking, like divorced people. You know, you're divorced,
right,
and you were married to somebody for more than 10 years, and now that divorced person passed away, and you have a right to go back in and get their Social Security if it was higher than yours. But you don't know how many divorced people out there don't realize that and never go back and check.
That's what I thought. Well, yep. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you sharing all this information.
All right, James. Good question.
Great question, James. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, Drew, when you said, hey, he can go back and get his or hers, you mean off of their record. Of course, it does nothing to diminish that individual's own Social Security collection.
Correct. It's not going to... It depends on whose record is higher, and he'll get whatever the higher record is that he's entitled to. And, so that's the way that's going to work. And if you have a question about it, you always should go in and ask. It never hurts to ask.
And as a client told me yesterday, I was asking him if it was a good time to call him. He asked me to call him, so I called him and said, is now a good time? Because he gave me a wide berth of range of the time frame. He says, well, I'm retired, Chris. You know, it's all a good time. And and then he said, and thanks for working, because you're paying my Social Security.
That's true.
That's why we're doing what we're doing, Drew.
That's why we do what we do. I pay Social Security tax, and it doesn't do a darn thing for me anymore, really. Well, Social Security would argue that's not true. I do get a slightly higher bump every year. Well, I don't even collect Social Security, so I'm not getting anything yet. So.
Right, yes. Yeah, well, sure, but you're keeping the system going.
There you go. Keep that system going. Yeah, anyway.
We have open lines all around.
We have open lines totally. We're going on a pause in about 20 seconds. Now's the time to call in while we're on this pause. We'd love to talk to you, answer your question, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 is the way to do it. And we're ready to take that pause. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here tonight on an open show. That means our listeners are our guests. And Chris, did we have anybody that wanted to talk to us at the break, or are we still chatting?
Well, if they did, Anita convinced them otherwise. No, I'm kidding. She had a nice chat with them. And so right now, we are empty on phone calls.
We're empty. Phone calls. Wow, we're going to have to just chat about something. And
sure, we'll tell them how to get a hold of us in the meantime.
Oh, well, you know, if you say, hey, I should have called in. I knew I should have called in. I would have been first up. You can now still call in, be first up, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 is the way to call in now. Nobody's on the line, and we'd love to talk to you and answer your questions. So if you want to call in, 410-922-6680 is the way to do that. But, you know, we might as well chat about some things that, in general, that we think would be beneficial to
our
clients.
Well, one of the things that we were reminded this week, and it's been less, the IRS has been opening up more and more. They got more people answering phone calls. Remember, people just gave up in 20 and 21 because literally they were not answering the phones on a huge majority of calls. And so a lot of issues just went unresolved.
Yeah, and well, so, let me just take that issue and address a bunch of our listeners here, because there are a bunch of our listeners that totally misinterpreted and bought into a bunch of baloney about the IRS getting $80 billion and they were going to get, you know, 80,000, you know, guys with guns coming to your house to take your money. And I was like, you know, and I can't tell you how many of my friends said to me, you know, well, you know, they're hiring all these agents now to come audit you, you know? And I'm like, no, they're just going to put 90% of that money is just going to go to put people on the telephone and educate them so that, you know, guys like myself can call in and resolve an issue, you know, and here's the stupid thing. Okay. Now I'll give you one thing. The lunacy that they're going to lower the audit on low-income people, that is absolutely insane, because the number one area of abuse in the tax law is the earned income credit. The earned income credit is United States taxpayer dollars going to taxpayers in a refund that they never put into the system.
Right.
Okay? So it's a very different scenario. They're actually stealing money from the US government, saying, I've got all these kids and I'm not making any money, and you know, and it's fraudulent. And that's why the government audits so many low income tax returns, is because they know that there's an incentive to fraud to do your tax return fraudulently. Now, I agree wholeheartedly. Higher income people should be audited aggressively because they too are avoiding paying the taxes that they should pay. But there's a difference. There's two different types of things going on here. Anyway, let's go to Denise in Delaware, Chris, before you get me too riled up.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Hi, Denise. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you?
Well,
I have a question. I'm 66 and, I would like to retire, and I would like to know, how do you calculate how much you would need in income to retire? So, for instance, let me give you an example. When you think of people's salaries and somebody makes $50,000 or they make $100,000, I kind of know where their lifestyle is going to be, but I don't think that's where it will be.
So let me address that for you, Denise, okay? So there's two ways you can do this, okay? So the very first thing you have to do is determine, what do I need to live on in retirement, okay? So there are two ways to do that. Now, where do you work? Do you work at a corporation or do you work for the government?
I have my own business.
Okay, you have your own business. That's a different kind. Okay, so here's the two ways to do it. You can say, okay, currently in my own business, I'm making $5,000 a month, and that's what I live on, and I have to pay, and in addition, I make enough to pay the taxes on that $5,000 a month. And so you say, okay, but out of that $5,000 that I'm getting, there's a bunch of things I'm not going to pay in retirement. So all in all, when I take all the things out, the savings that I'm doing to retire, the Social Security tax that I'm paying, et cetera, et cetera, I'm not going to do that anymore. So really, I'm really only living off of about $4,000 a month, not $5,000 a month, okay? So when you take that down, so there's your budget, $4,000 a month. As long as you're not using your credit cards aggressively, as long as you're not drawing against savings accounts, you're using a percentage of your income that you're making currently, and you're subtracting the things out that aren't going to be spent in retirement. You're not going to pay Social Security tax anymore. You're not going to keep saving for retirement anymore. Now, the better way to do it is to do a cash flow analysis. So you keep track of where you get your money in every month, and you keep track of where you're spending your money every month. And you do that over, you get the back records for the last 2 or 3 years, and you pull that all in, and you say, wow, I'm spending this much on housing, I'm spending this much on food, I'm spending this much on going out, da 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 da. And you look at your budget and you say, okay, in retirement, I want this budget item to be this budget item to be this. And you create a budget for retirement, and that's the number you want to draw on. Now, once you get that number, how much a month you want, now you go and you say, okay, how much Social Security are you going to give me? And Social Security says, well, we're going to give you $3,000 a month. Okay, well, my budget is $6,000 a month. So I'm $3,000 short. How am I gonna fund that? Okay. And if you don't have any other pensions, now you got to go to your own investments. And you take your investments and say, will they be able to do this? Okay. And the way we do it is with a very sophisticated program. There are two big ones out there called Money Guide Pro, the one we use, and eMoney. They do a very sophisticated analysis of this. And then once it's built into that program, you can then do a bunch of what ifs. What if my portfolio is invested like this? What if I wait to take Social Security? What if I go into a nursing home? What if the stock market crashes again? What if this? What if that? And the portfolio the computer program instantly tells you whether you're going to be able to survive anything you're afraid of with what you have and your Social Security and so forth and so forth. Did that help?
Yes, it did. Now, my other question is, I have real estate. Most of my money is in real estate.
Okay.
So, and I was going to sell some real estate, and I was thinking of getting and maybe purchasing a rental for some income, or taking that money and investing it and getting the income that way.
Well, but when you the real estate you're going to sell, is it personal real estate or is it business real estate? Is it rental real estate?
It's personal. I have two houses. I have a house near the shore, and I have a house in Maryland. So
okay,
thinking, well, I really can't afford both.
All right. Well, but here's the thing I would warn you of the rental real estate. And I think it's a great idea. And just the one thing you always have to think about in rental real estate is, do you want to be a landlord? That's number one. And number two, what's your succession plan? Who's going to take care of that if all of a sudden you get older or have a medical issue or you die or whatever? It's not that easy to just take over a rental real estate. So the two things I'd say if you're going to do rental real estate as part of your retirement plan is, A, do you want to be a landlord? And it's a full-time job, trust me. And number two, do I have a succession plan? Who's going to take care of this property? So if you have children, let's say, that would be a great option to see if they're willing to help you. And you know that you got a backup plan. So I have no problem with your plan. I just want to make sure you think the whole thing out as you go into retirement. All right?
Right. Okay. I appreciate
all right.
that.
Well,
alrighty.
Very good question. Excellent.
Okay,
all right.
Thanks.
Let's go see Ken. I don't know. We don't have enough time for Ken right this second. But Ken, I hope you hold on. We're going to be right back. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. It's the way you call in, and you'll be right up after Ken. Take it away, Trent. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, So do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show tonight, and our listeners are our guests. They get to call in, ask questions they want. Like Denise did, talking about retirement. James, he was calling in, asking a question about a friend, Social Security, and Sakara. She called in asking about her Social Security and whatever the question is, whether it's income taxes or what. You know, you call in 410-922-6680 is the way to call in, 410-922-6680. And Ken's the only one on the line right now, so we'll go to him, but you can be up right next if you call in 410-922-6680. Chris?
Hi, Ken. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I was just tuning in about 20 minutes or so ago when you were connecting some of the tax rates to the good reason for, you know, taking charitable contributions from your IRA as part of the, you know, your required minimum deduction.
Correct.
To avoid the taxability of that. And it sounded like some of those rates were changing as of this year. I know the tax laws are changing, phasing in, or maybe they're just starting new in 2026. But were some of those figures you were quoting, and perhaps you could repeat them, I would appreciate them. You were talking about something that was affecting single people.
Are you single or married?
Married.
Okay, so you're married. So, and you live in Baltimore, so you live in this the wonderful state of Maryland, right?
Correct.
Okay, so how old are you?
70.
Okay, so last year, 2022, the state of Maryland passed a new law to try to keep people not to move to Florida like some people do. And they passed a law that said if you make $150,000 or less and you're over 65 years of age, they're going to give you a $1,750 tax reduction. It's a credit. You get actually $1,750 tax reduction. And of course, your income's got to be somewhere in the neighborhood of, what would it have to be, Chris? It would have to be...
You've got to get just the state tax itself.
It's about $30,000. If your income's $30,000, taxable income, $30,000 or higher, then they're going to give you $1,750 tax break. But
up to $150,000.
If your federal, now this is the key, it's your federal adjusted gross income, not your Maryland adjusted gross income. Your federal adjusted gross income comes over onto your Maryland return. And if that number is $150,000 or lower, you get the $1,750. If it's $150,000 literally and one stinking dollar, they take it away from you. Now, there is no way your mind can comprehend that concept, but that's the literal law. And so if your income is in that ballpark, and you're getting you're giving money to charity, and you have to take money out of your IRA. Now, right now, you don't have to because you're only 70, but in a few years you will be. If that then pushes you up over that $150,000 by $500, $1,000, $2,000, and you're giving money to charity and you're not doing it through what's called a qualified charitable distribution, you just might as well take a ball peen hammer and just start pounding yourself in the head with it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yep.
Makes sense. And as single people, it's only $100,000. Now, it gets worse because Maryland also, at the same income levels, $1 over $150,000, they take away $3,200 of your deductions on your tax return. That's an additional about $300 that they're taking away from you. So it's not $1,750. It's really like $2,000, $2,050. They're going to take away from you if your income is $1 over. And I'll tell you, I've seen it. I had a client that their income was like $150,625 or something ridiculous like that. And, you know, we looked for every option whatsoever to get that income down. And a lot of times we can find it, but not always can we find it. So it's important that you do this thinking right now.
Absolutely.
Before December 31st. Don't do it when you get to do your tax return because I may not be able to find the deductions. You tell me now and I come up and I say, look, you're falling into the $155,000 category. You're not going to get this benefit. Let's figure out how to reduce your taxes by $5,000 between now and the end of the year if we can. Okay?
Right.
You know,
right.
And there still may not be able to do it, but normally we can do it if we have time.
Two quick questions related to what you just said. This apparently has started for 2023 then, correct?
It started in 2022, so it's
okay.
Going on.
They signed it in July of 22, made it effective for the year.
Oh, okay. And then the other thing, when you are referring to the 3,200, is that your exemptions that you're losing?
Yep.
Yeah,
yes.
That's the exemptions. The exemptions go down by 50% if you go over $150,000 federal AGI by $1.
Right.
Then they go down by another 50% if your AGI goes over $175,000. And then they go down to zero if your AGI is over $200,000. That's why I moved out of the state because...
No,
you know,
I understand it exactly. Between that and the state now having a windfall from not allowing you to do all the deductions you used to be able to get, and you get this...
Yep.
Puny standard deductions, they can't get enough.
Hey, look, anybody who makes any income, the only people that should be left in Maryland after you really think about it is people who are making less than $50,000 and they say, you know, hey, we're being treated exceptionally well. So, you know, then let Maryland accumulate all the people that make $50,000 if they really want to go with class warfare, then go for it, you know, and enjoy what you end up with.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you for such a thorough answer and to explain that in detail. I do appreciate you repeating it.
But, you know, I can't tell you how many landmines there are in the tax laws, Ken. In the federal laws, I mean, we just did the Maryland, but in the federal laws, there's a whole bunch of other ones. So, anyway, we got to run. Great question.
Thank you.
Hopefully that was helpful. Let's go
Take
to
care.
George. Let's get George in here.
Good evening. Welcome to the show.
George.
Thank you. You mentioned the IRS is hiring all these agents to audit people, and I'm thinking that right now, as far as I know, the only people who have any money are seniors right now.
George, I did not say the IRS is hiring a bunch of people to audit you. I said that's what a bunch of people think the IRS did with that $80 billion they got. And it's not true. There is not a bunch of agents being hired to audit people. There are agents that are really just answering the phones and upgrading their technology. Their technology dates back to 1980s. And the IRS is updating their technology and hiring people to answer the phones. But they are going to audit people who are making $1 million or more. They are not going to be auditing, and actually they're eliminating audits on a lot of people making a little money, like $50,000 or less, which was a heavy audit area for the IRS because that's where the earned income credit is, which is actually free money given by the government to people who make low income to encourage them to work. But it's okay, also great. An abused where, item.
Where did they get the money to give to them?
They get it out of the tax law. They get it out of the budget, the federal budget.
Exactly.
It's like a welfare.
But the federal budget is like bad credit cards. I had,
I understand. But it was Ronald Reagan that created the earned income credit, and it had a lot of logic to it. But over the years, it's become basically just a giveaway
expanded
to
it.
People.
Sure.
And they've expanded it tremendously from what Reagan intended it to be. Anyway, great question, George.
But you got to recognize the federal government needs money. They're going bankrupt. They're overextending their credit card. And eventually, somebody's got to pay that bill.
The liberals think you can just print money to do it. So don't worry. The liberals have it all under control, George.
No, I'm sure they do. And they're going to take as much as they can.
They'll be out there with Evita and Perón. Juan and Evita Perón taking our country into the great future.
I love the fact that somebody else should take my money and distribute it and become saviors. They're saving the poor people.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, good question, George. And we got to go.
Have a good one.
Take care. All right. Thanks.
Chris, it always runs fast when we have a good show. We got a lot of good callers.
Questions. There were.
Yep.
Exactly. Right.
All right.
Take it away.
Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. Things are gonna be much better.